Ephesians chapter number 6. In Ephesians 6, it continues the theme of a spirit-filled Christian. If you remember in Ephesians 5:18, it tells us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There is a need for us to be filled with the Spirit, and it's a command, right? And then we talked about the four different areas that are specifically listed that, if I understand it right, it's basically saying when you're filled with the Spirit, these are four things that will be happening in your life. Your life will look like this. You'll be speaking to yourselves in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, etc. And the last one listed is you'll be submitting yourself one to another. And then it goes into now then some specifics. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, right? And goes on through that. Well, now chapter 6, even though there is a chapter division, it carries that same theme. But this time from the husband-wife relationship to the parent and child relationship, and it deals specifically with the children. And tonight, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at the child relationship toward the parent. And again, the whole idea is, if we're spirit-filled, this is what we will do. So children, can I speak to you for just a moment? Those of you who are still in your parents' home and under their care, may I say to you that you are not too young to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're born again, if you've been saved, then it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't think that that's just something for a pastor or even just something for your parents or your Sunday school teacher or brother so-and-so or, you know, an evangelist that we have through. Listen, it's for every Christian. That means you. If you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, whatever, years old, God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are, here's what that will look like. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And I want to speak to you from those three verses about what spirit-filled children will look like or how they will act. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the privilege to be home with the people that you've allowed me to be a part of their church. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be able to be back home with them and speak to them again. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of being able to have your word in my hands and open it up and to declare to them that you have said some things that they need to hear. Thus saith the Lord. Help me, dear Lord, with that. Help me not to give my own opinions, Lord. You know, it's so easy for me to do that. So many thoughts and opinions that I would have, things that I think they ought to do. But Lord, you know those things are empty, they're vain, they're worthless, meaningless, and that I have no wisdom for them outside of your word. And so, Lord, would you enable me tonight to stick to your word? And Lord, if there's anything you want me to say that your word does not specifically say, but would be based upon a principle of your word, then, Lord, even bring that to my mind, but help me to know how to put it in such a way that they will understand it is based on a principle. Lord, help me with that, I pray. Guide and direct in all these things. Give all of us ears to hear. And, Lord, I think of the children who are here, those who are still under their parents' roof and under their care. Lord, would you specifically give them ears to hear and understanding tonight that they might hear your word in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so spirit-filled children. First of all, according to verse number 1, what are they going to do? They are going to obey their parents. Oh, that is such an easy thing to say and a hard thing to do, isn't it? But God's will for every child in their home is that they would obey their parents. And that is obvious and easy to understand. It means that when your parents say to do something, that you do it, that you follow their instructions. It even goes farther than just what they say, but even just what they would want you to do, that you would do so correctly. Let me take just a moment. I won't spend a long time on this, but young people, please hear me on this. Please hear your pastor on this. This is important. I want you to understand that when your mom or your dad says, do X, whatever it might be, take out the trash or do the dishes or clean your room or whatever it might be, I want you to understand that the only correct response if you're going to obey your parents is yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. That's it. And that you would not only say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, but that you would obey right away. And I want you to understand, young people, that if you are going to obey your parents, it is not okay to give them a face. That's not obedience, okay? It is not okay to complain or argue with them. That is not okay. It is only right for you to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and then follow through and do it. And parents, let me encourage you, make sure that your children do exactly what you tell them to do and that they do it right away, and teach them, listen, here, this is big, please hear me on this, parents, that they do it with a smile on their face. That they do it with a smile on their face. More important than whether or not they take out the trash is that they would learn to obey with a good attitude. The attitude is every bit, if not more important than even the action itself. Because while they're smaller than you, you can always make them do something. But the problem is, you know this from experience, they won't always be smaller than you. There's going to come a time where their obedience is going to be based upon their love for you and the training that you gave to them, the fact that you trained them, that when an authority who is given authority by God, a rightful authority, when they tell you to do something that is within the realm of something that God is pleased with, that you do it and you do it immediately and with a good attitude. You'll be depending on that someday. And if you can't get them while they are 4 to do right with a good attitude, when they're 14, you're going to have trouble. If you can't get them when they're 6 to do what is right with a smile, I fear for you when they're 16, because it only gets harder from there. The time to do it is while they're young. Train them, work on them. If they're a little bit older and not doing that well, I would advise you to sit them down and say to them something to this effect. Listen, sweetheart or son, I want you to understand that in the past, we've let you get away with having a bit of an attitude, making faces or complaining or whatever. But with love and care, I want you to know that that stops today. From now on, you're going to be expected to obey, and you're going to be expected to obey right away and with a smile. And I promise you, if you don't, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to throw a fit. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to beat you. I'm not going to do anything like that. But you will be made to obey with a smile on your face. I would advise you to have that conversation with them. And then, may I say, follow through with it, okay? Because you want them to do that. It's the command of Scripture that they would obey. Young people, obey your parents. Notice the next phrase that it gives, right? The next phrase is, obey your parents in the Lord. Why should you obey your parents? Because it is the same as if you are obeying the Lord. And if the Lord Jesus himself came to your house and told you to take out the trash, or asked you to wash the dishes, or told you to clean your room, or to put a different shirt on, or whatever it might be, then I know you young people enough to know that you would, with a smile, gladly do what the Lord Jesus Christ told you. And every time your mom or every time your dad tells you to do something, it is as if the Lord Jesus Christ himself came into your home and said, do this. Obey your parents in the Lord. And then notice what it says, because this is right. It's the right thing. It's the right thing to do. Now, you and I might think, oh, this really is elementary stuff, isn't it? And in a way it is. But can I tell you, it's not nearly as, it may be elementary, but it's elementary just like when you were building or when someone was building your house, the footing that they placed around your home was elementary, wasn't it? Doesn't look like much. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But if you know anything about building a house, that footing is awfully important. Let me show that to you, keeping your place here in Ephesians 6. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 1, Romans 1. If you understand Romans chapter number 1, you know that this is the chapter that talks about the Gentiles and how because of their lack of willingness to believe God or accept that God is God, God gives them over to a reprobate mind, right? To do all these things that are not convenient. When we think of that, we think of, boy, homosexuality, right? And we were right to think of that. That is part of being given over to a reprobate mind. We think of, you know, this transgender movement that just has everybody wacko and crazy, don't we? By the way, my preferred pronouns are Never mind. I was just waiting to see if everyone was awake. Everyone's head turned up to me, right? It's just foolishness in this world because of all that, right? And that's because God has given us over to a reprobate mind. But wait a minute. It doesn't stop there. Look at Romans 1 and verse number 30. Here's another part of that. It says, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Boy, those are bad, right? Look at the last phrase. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents is one of the signs of an age in which God has given them over to a reprobate mind. How big of a deal is obedience to parents? It's a big deal. Let me show you another scripture, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It'll say something similar. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. The Bible tells us, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That obviously means times full of peril, right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Wow. Part of the reason that the latter days will be perilous days is because people will be disobedient to parents. And we're in that day, aren't we? I mean, we look at that and we have some form of protection still in our country. There's some safety to some extent, but boy, we can see things falling apart all around us. And one of the reasons that it falls apart is because people are disobedient to parents. And again, we see it all around us. Disobedient to parents. How big of a deal is this? It is a big deal. Look with me, if you would, back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's look in the next part. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on disobedient to parents or obeying parents, I should say. I want to look mainly at the next phrase because God, I think, spends more time on the next phrase. Ephesians 6 says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But now look at verse 2. It goes a step further. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So a spirit-filled child will honor their parents. And when they do, they will receive a great promise. By the way, look up this wording in a concordance sometime. You know what you'll find? This command to honor your father and your mother is found several times throughout Scripture. God makes an emphasis or puts an emphasis on honoring your father and your mother. This is a big deal. In fact, I would say this is a bigger deal than you think. This is one of those keystones to life. You want a good life? Honor your parents. Let me say it again to the young people here. Listen, you want a good life. You want someday when you're really old, you know, like 30? Really, yeah. Charlotte's like, whoa, 30? When you're old like 30, you want to have a big smile on your face. If there's any teeth left, you want a big smile on your face, right? One of the ways, one of those keys to having that big smile on your face when you're 30, 40, 50, 60, and onward is that right now you would begin and later on you would continue to honor your parents. And I can tell you, the Bible says it, therefore it's true. But also, I've seen it just in life. I've watched and I've seen God's word is exactly right. I've seen people who are good Christians, but they failed in that area. Listen, I'm telling you, I've watched. They're good Christians. They serve the Lord. They work hard for God, but they failed in this area, and they have problems. Now, I'm not the judge. I'm not the one who gets to decide why problems come, but there's a part of me in some people's lives that go, you know what? I know how you treated your mom and dad. That might be why that is going on in your life. I don't know. God only knows. But I've seen it, and God's word says, if you honor your father and your mother, you'll receive a promise, and the promise is, it will go well with you. That's kind of a general way of putting it, right? It will go well with you, and you want it to go well.
Yeah.
But not only that, it says you'll have a long life. Now, that's not a guarantee that you'll live to 100. That's not a guarantee that you'll live to a certain age, but your life will be long. In other words, God will prolong your life. You could have had a shorter life. God will make it longer. Some of that certainly could be eternal life. All of that, I'm not going to necessarily pinpoint exactly all that that means. I just take God at his word. He said that if I will honor my father and my mother, my life will be long upon the earth, and I'm going to take him at his word. You want to receive the promise. So here's the next question now. What does it mean to honor your mother and your father? Because remember, it's different than just obeying. Because it says here, obey, but then it goes on to the next one, honor. Honoring is not just obeying, it's more than that. Let me show you, and you can look it up yourself. Look up verses where honor is used. But let me show you a few that I looked up, a little bit of a Bible study. Keep your place here in Ephesians 6, maybe a bookmark or something. And then turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And I want to just show you some things as I studied and meditated on this, what the Lord showed me that it means to honor your mother and your father. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse 30. Now, not all of these passages that we're going to look at, starting with 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, not all of them are going to say honoring parents, but they're going to talk about honoring in general. And it'll give us an idea of what it means to honor someone. Specifically in this case, honoring your mother and your father. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, look at verse 30. Here's the prophet speaking to Eli. And he says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of my father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." God, in that verse, gives us a little bit of an understanding of what it means to honor, because he contrasts honoring somebody with lightly esteeming somebody. So lightly esteeming, we kind of understand that. What is your estimation of somebody? Do you lightly esteem them? Do you look at them and say, they're not worth much, they're not that important, it's not that big of a deal if I pay attention to them? That's lightly esteeming them. The opposite of that would be honoring somebody. We might put a synonym of highly esteeming them. That's one of the parts of honoring somebody. Let me give you an example. If you are in the presence of an important person, and also in that same room, not only are you in the presence of an important person, but there are children in that room, little children. Who do we naturally pay attention to? The person to whom we give our attention is the person we are honoring, the other person we are lightly esteeming. Here's an example. This last weekend, I was in Peru and was preaching at a church in the morning, and the missionary kid that was there, I was a nice young boy that I talked to before the service and tried to be friendly with him. And one of the things that he did was then, after I was done talking with him, I went and I began trying to talk to the members of the church. One of the men from the church is named Victor. I had a good conversation with Victor. Victor's from Venezuela. A lot of Venezuelans live in Peru, I guess. And I talked to him about, hey, maybe someday you'll get to go back and be a missionary there. And all. And he's talking to an adult, another man, about the things of the Lord. In the meantime, this missionary kid comes up while I'm in the middle of talking and starts pulling on my arm. Now, where I come from, that's rude. You don't do that. When adults are talking, sorry, kid, you're going to have to wait your turn, right? So here's what I did. You call me mean if you want or not. I ignored him. I'm talking to an adult, another man. We're talking about the things of God. We're not just shooting the breeze, not just, even if we were, it doesn't matter. I'm talking to another adult. He shouldn't be pulling on my arm trying to get my attention. He should wait till I'm done, right? So I just ignored him. Listen, I honored the man. I lightly esteemed the little boy, okay? If you want to honor your parents, you show them the attention. You put other things aside. You pay attention to them. When they're talking, listen, you want to honor your father and your mother? When your parents talk, hey, that worked real well. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry about that, those of you on live stream. I hope your speakers are under warranty. when your parents are talking, you ought to go quiet. Right? That's honoring your mother and your father. Whoa, whoa, mom said something. Shh. Let's hear what mom said. Mom shouldn't have to yell. By the way, mom, train your children that they listen to you when you speak softly. Don't train them to only listen when you raise your voice however many decibels. You train them that they listen and they obey when you speak softly. Train them. Why? Because they need to be trained to honor their mother and their father. When dad comes home and dad is speaking, moms, tell your kids, hey, shh, dad's talking. Let's hear what dad has to say. Dad has some wisdom he wants to share with us. Let's be quiet and listen. Train them to have that understanding and that honor for their mother and their father, right? Good for us. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 30. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 30. We're talking about how to honor our mother and our father. First of all, it's the opposite of lightly esteeming them, 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 30. Here's another passage of scripture that gives us a clue as to what it means to honor. Then he said, 1 Samuel 15, 30, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So, by the way, this is Saul, right? Saul had made his mistake, not done what is right. He had sinned before God and not obeyed God. Samuel came, chewed him out, and said, you did wrong. God's looking for another man to be king, et cetera, et cetera. And Samuel's about ready to leave, and Saul says, wait a minute, don't leave. I'm going to put my words in his mouth now. If you leave, the people will see that you're not with me, and they're going to say, uh-oh, Saul isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing, and Samuel's now ignoring him. Honor me in front of them by coming with me, and basically what he's saying is, help them to look at me and think that I'm still important and that I still have my authority. That's basically what he's asking Samuel to do, and Samuel does it. What can we learn from that? To honor somebody means to cause others to think well of that person. To honor somebody means that I want others to think highly of that person. And I work to that end. Children, let me ask you this. Adults, let me ask you this. Young adults, other people who don't know your parents, except for what you tell them about your parents, what is their opinion of your parents? If they don't know them, and they only know about them what you tell them, what kind of opinion do they have? Is it high or is it low? And you might say, but Pastor, do you know what my parents were like? I don't remember the Bible giving me an excuse, right? All of us, we don't have to lie. In fact, God doesn't want us to lie. But we can do the best that we can to give a good impression of our parents to other people. That's part of honoring them. Let's look at another passage of scripture. Before we turn to the next passage of scripture, I thought a great example of this part of honoring was found in Esther. We don't have the time to turn there, but do you remember when Mordecai is going to be honored by the king and Haman comes in? Isn't that like the best part of the whole story, right? When Haman comes in and he's about ready to say, hey, I want to kill Mordecai. And the king says, oh, hold on, hold your thought. I want to talk first, right? And he says, if I wanted to honor somebody, what would be the best way to honor them? And Haman says, oh, well, it's got to be me, right? So here, you know, he needs to ride on the steed that the king has and wear the king's clothes, and somebody needs to walk behind him and declare how great, behold, thus shall it be done to the king unto whom the man unto whom the king delighteth to honor, right? That's what he says. And he ends up turning it around, and it's Mordecai that's sitting on the steed and not Haman, right? And Haman's the one talking. That's honoring. It's walking through town saying, this guy is all that in a bag of potato chips. Listen, that's honoring your parents. Not lying, but making other people think well of them. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. Here's another part of honoring your parents. Leviticus chapter number 19. So we've seen, first of all, it's the opposite of lightly esteeming somebody. We've seen also that it is causing other people to think well of them. Now in Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 15, and then also verse 32. So Leviticus 19, 15, and also verse 32. As God is giving to the priests the job of judging his people, here's what he says in Leviticus 19, verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. What can we devise from that? We can devise that to give someone honor means you give them special treatment because of their position. God says here for the judges, if someone is poor, don't treat them any better than anyone that's rich. If they're rich or mighty, don't treat them any better. Don't give them any honor that you don't give to somebody else. No special treatment. And then later on in the chapter, in a different heading, it's if a person is older, they have a white head or hoary head, you are to give them honor. Honor the aged, basically, is the idea there. So we can devise from that that you honor somebody by giving them special treatment because of their position. In other words, my parents should get special treatment because of their position. My parents ought to have a special place in my life. And that, by the way, means even those of us who are adults, that they get special treatment, that I treat them different than I treat others. I treat them better. I give them a place of honor because I'm honoring them. Now, if I want a long life, if I want things to go well with me, I'll treat my parents in such a way that they get special treatment. Let's look at another passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 15. This one you're not going to like. I'm glad it's in Scripture and not just from my mouth. Matthew 15. Brace yourself here, okay? Matthew 15. We're talking about what it means to honor somebody. Matthew 15, verse 3. Matthew 15, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God hath commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Here's what Jesus was saying there. He's talking to the Pharisees and how they would change the law of Moses around and add in their own stuff and call it God's commandments, right? Well, one of the ways they would do that is God's command was honor your father and your mother. But what the Pharisees would do, because they were covetous, is they would say, listen, folks, if you would rather give your money to the temple and to the Pharisees and to the religious leaders, rather than giving it to your parents, you're free from the law that says that you have to honor your father and your mother as long as you're giving it to us. Weren't they sweet? And Jesus said they were breaking the commandment of honor your father and your mother. You know what that tells me? To honor my father and my mother in some cases means financially. Uh-oh. See, I told you wouldn't like that. But that's exactly what that means. That means not that I have to pay them dues or tithe to them or anything like that, but as I become an adult, some of the responsibility to make sure that my parents are taken care of falls upon me. That's important. If I want to honor my father and my mother, part of honoring them means I want to make sure that they are fed and clothed and have housing and are cared for. It's not that they have to live in luxury while I suffer, Not that, you know, I always come and rescue them out of every problem if they've been foolish and all that. Sometimes I might need to get involved and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, let me help you with some of those financial things and help get you out of that mess. But as a general rule, it is my responsibility to care for them. Let me say this as well. When I married into my wife's family, I took upon myself the responsibility to make sure that her mom and dad were a part of that as well. Because I'm now son-in-law. I'm in the Bible even, I'm considered a son of that household. It's my responsibility. And by God's grace, I wasn't perfect, but before my mother-in-law passed, she was a widow for a while and she lived with us and we cared for her and we nurtured her and we helped her and we provided some things financially for her. Listen, it's our responsibility. Sometimes it means financially. Ouch, that hurts. But yes, it does mean that. How important is that? Well, do you remember what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5? The widows that are widows indeed take in, let the church take care of them. But if any have nephews, or I forget the other wording it uses basically, but if they have relatives that can take care of them, the relatives should be taking care of them. And then he makes this statement that if we won't care for our own, we're worse than an infidel. In other words, we're worse than an unbeliever. It's that big of a deal that the New Testament scriptures, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says if you will not care for your own, you're worse than somebody who is not saved. In other words, you're acting in such a way that it's so far below what a Christian ought to act. It is our responsibility to care for them. Wow. That's if we want God to bless us. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. We'll take just a minute or two more. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Something else we need to see about what it means to honor. 1 Peter 3. We've seen it means the opposite of lightly esteemed. It means to cause others to think well of the person being honored. It means to give them special treatment because of their position. Sometimes it includes in financial areas. And then 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, let me show you something else about honoring. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The reason I pointed out that verse is honoring does not mean blind obedience. Now, as children, your job is to obey your parents if you're a child in the home. But once you become an adult, you still have to honor your parents, but it doesn't mean blind obedience. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, in this verse, it tells husbands to honor their wives. Does that mean that husbands are to obey their wives? No, no, it's the opposite. The wife is supposed to obey the husband. The husband's the head of the home. And yet, the same time that the husband can expect from his wife obedience and that she would follow him, he can give her honor at the same time. So I can do that also with my parents is what that means. It means that now that I'm an adult, I have a family of my own, I've left my father and my mother, I'm cleaving to my wife, I have my own home. It's not that I would, when my dad was still alive, go to him and just say, Dad, you tell me what to do, and I will say, yes, sir, and do whatever you tell me to do. No, 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 no. What I did, and I think what was biblical to do, is to ask him, Dad, what do you think? You have more wisdom than I do. You've been around a lot longer than I have. You've been walking with the Lord from before I was born. Tell me, what do you think? And my dad would say, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then I would have to take it before the Lord. Is Dad right on X, Y, and Z? And then I would have to make that determination. But in everything I did, I was going to honor him. I was going to make others think well of him. I was going to give him a position of honor in my life, care for him financially if that ever came up. Not that it did much with my dad. But listen, in all of those areas, I could give him honor without just blindly following him in obedience. You can do the same with your parents. As an adult, God still expects you to walk with him and to get wisdom from him and to obey him. But you can do that while you honor your parents. You can give them that position of honor. And then we don't have time to look at this next one, but 2 Samuel chapter number 10, I would show you that honoring someone can even be done after death, after they die. 2 Samuel 10 proves that. So many of you, like me, your parents, your blood parents, are gone. My wife's parents are gone. My mom and dad are gone. but I can still honor them. I can still honor them. I can still give them a place of honor in my life, and God expects me to. As we close, let me share with you a couple of examples from the Bible. Number one, and again, we won't look at scripture for time's sake, but Jeremiah 35, do you remember the Rechabites? Great example of honoring their father, right? Their father had said, listen, don't drink any wine. You're basically to be nomads. You're not going to build houses and all that. You're going to be, you know, carers of sheep and all the rest, because that'll help you stay right. Now, that wasn't God's command. That was dad's command. And they obeyed it. And God blessed them for that. There's an example of leadership and fellowship. Another one that is an example is Solomon versus Absalom. Solomon, when his mom showed up in 1 Kings chapter number 2, Bathsheba. Solomon is king. You don't get any higher than that. But when his mom shows up, he bows before her, gives her honor, and gets a throne set up so that she can sit on the throne. He honored his mother. Absalom didn't honor his father and his mother, rebelled against his dad. How did it go between the two of those? By the way, which was the worst sinner in our eyes? Probably Solomon. And yet he had a long life and was blessed. Again, it's just God's principle. Here's another example. This is an interesting one that might be a little controversial with you. But think about Leah versus Rachel. Not the Kohans. As in Old Testament, Leah versus Rachel. Leah. Her dad did wrong by giving her to Jacob when he thought he was getting Rachel. Put her in an awkward position. We don't know specifics, but it appears that she just allowed dad to kind of put her in that position. Rachel was more beautiful. Rachel was more talented, the more loved one. We don't know a whole lot, except we can see a little bit of a rebellious streak in her. Stealing the idols from her father when he comes to look for them. You remember that? She basically lies to him and hides the idols and all of that. How did it go for the two of them? Leah had child after child after child after child after child after child. And Rachel the whole time is going, God, I want a child. 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 She finally gets some at the end. And then, by the way, Rachel dies in childbirth. And as far as we know, Leah, the older sister, lived on. We don't know exactly when she died, but apparently, if I understand it right, she lived longer. Just a thought. God doesn't say a whole lot about it, but as you look at the pattern, you go, you know what? Maybe that's why she was blessed. Maybe that's why Rachel struggled when Leah just had the blessings of God, apparently, right? So these are all examples of how God says we are to obey and honor. And that's how it will be when we are spirit-filled. Lord willing, the next time we look at this, we'll look at how the parents are to respond to the children. Let's pray, and then I'll talk to you about what we'll do next. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to look in your word. And I do thank you, Lord, that you share with us in scripture exactly what we are to do. You make it so clear. Thank you, dear Lord, for that. Now, Lord, would you help us to obey? Would you help the children that are here to obey? Lord, would you give the parents wisdom on how to train their children to obey? And even give them the wisdom and skill to start while they are still young, that they might learn to obey as they get older. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us, whether young or old, to honor our mother and our father. Thank you for blessing us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.